Hey, hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 659. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Not too much. It's a usual day. After having a rant day with Jeremy, I do not have another one in me, at least as far as outside interests go. No Columbus crew complaints. I just will note that they lost their only game using that terrible logo. So if they go on a death spiral after the new logo, I will blame the new logo, even though it will have nothing to do with it. But there was some interesting goings on in the world of wrestling this week between NXT and AEW. AEW's the fresher in the mind, also because your preferred first topic is honestly the last thing that I watched before coming on to do this very podcast. So yes, the Cody Rhodes promo is it's something. You know?
It was something, all right. Yes. Yeah, speaking of someone going on a personal rant. What was he thinking? Going on a bizarre jingoistic rant, but ending with a message of racial harmony based around his wife and unborn child. He was all over the place. Like, you know, it was like low IQ both sizing the issues facing this country today, and also trying to tie it into a wrestling angle that's really, you know, it's a really flimsy angle between him and Anthony Ogogo. Because it really starts with the fact that Anthony Ogogo has not done this thing. I only watch Dynamite. Anthony Ogogo has not said or done any of this. Other than covering Cody in the flag, Anthony Ogogo has not said any of the things Cody said he said. In fact, if Anthony Ogogo has ever done a promo on Dynamite, be damned if it resonated with me, because I couldn't tell you what that man sounds like.
Oh, I guess I didn't even think about that part of this promo, but yeah, you're right. He hasn't really said anything like that because he has. I mean.
Yeah, no.
QT Marshall has done the majority of the talking for the group. And, yes. I mean, he's had a couple of lines, but it hasn't been anything profound.
No, he has not gone on anti-American tirades. They've done this once again. It's hilarious coming on the heels of a recent... Let's just call it a hit piece on Cody and Deadspin from Deadspin. Basically accusing him of doing what he's doing right now. And that's just trying to shoehorn a Southern wrestling angle into 2021 Dynamite without any perspective on why those angles ever worked or the time and place that they worked. Which really is not right now. It just—they've done no work for this. Even the best of intentions of expectations for this promo were set very low because they've done none of the leg. They've done none of the work. They've laid no groundwork for Cody to be this infuriated and be this passionate and with you know patriotism right through his veins.
They have not set this angle up. Well, I shouldn't say I haven't set it up at all, because what, he's punched him twice now?
He punched him at least once, and then lay the flag over him.
Yeah.
Because once again, it's something they did back in the day. I don't know if it's necessarily a Dusty angle, but it's definitely Southern. It's Southern wrestling. Very Southern wrestling. So, but once again, it doesn't fit the tone of the rest of the show. It's just Cody doing his own thing, but there's no real setup to it. And that's not even getting into the that's all before we even get into the content of the promo. And it's just if you can't, what? Why? I'm not even saying that there's not a way that you can't do a patriotic promo, if you even want to call it that.
Right.
In 2021, it's like he missed every single mark. You got to. And he just didn't, the way he started it, it was always going to turn people off, and as he got going, it just nothing, just nothing worked, and just trying to tie his unborn baby into it, and, there's just this, there's this thing, especially if you see a lot of people post about their personal lives online, but there's a subset of like interracial relationships where one of the people involved, usually a white man, walks around acting like the world to give him a pat on the back for being with a black woman or having a mixed child. It just Cody often gives off those vibes, and never more than last night. It was just like, Dude, do you want someone to give you flowers because you have your wife and baby? That's literally the the lowest expectations you have for a human being.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to sum it up. You know what I mean? Like, The promo just covered too much territory. Like, he was trying,
all over the place.
Like, he thought he was tying together these disparate things, but he didn't at all. And like you said, it missed because we don't know anything about, we know that there's a little bit of a beef between QT Marshall's faction and Cody. But like you said, they haven't really done enough work. And again, even if they, as much as I'm kind of annoyed when we get replays on Raw or SmackDown, they usually do a good job of, at least if they have like a special appearance, they still push like Raw talk and things like that. Isn't Elevation and just regular Dark, it's mostly action, isn't it? It's not really a whole lot of backstage promos.
There's some, but yes, it's very much match. Yes. So yeah, no, I don't know where Anthony Ogogo would have cut these promos that Cody said he did. It's just what's that? It's Cody's just making this up because he wants to live out his dad. And he did. He literally said for this one match only, he wants to be called the American Dream. It's just living out that fantasy and using valuable TV time to do it. It is what that an article said about him. He is just wasting time for his own vanity on Dynamite every week. Everything he's doing is just completely, totally, and otherwise removed from the rest of the show.
Yeah, in some way, it was okay for a while there, but this is, it's kind of funny, he was the one, that at least when they were first founding the company seemed to have a good grasp on where he needed to be. And
yeah, absolutely, Cody was the best babyface in the business at the time. From about, I'll say 2018, from about the build up to All In, particularly that night, there are very few baby faces who were ever more over in a single building than Cody was that night. We were both there. And then, through the formation of AEW and the early shows, through basically up until COVID period, the COVID shutdown and the first shows that were in an empty building, Cody was most over babyface arguably in the entire business, to the fans in attendance at AEW shows. His biggest mistake was doing that stipulation to the Jericho match that he would never get the challenge for the title again.
Oh.
Then he held the TNT championship for a while. Lost it, got it back. Lost it seemingly for good. And now he's just been wandering for the last 6 months. And then he wanted to work an angle with his buddy QT Marshall and get QT and go, it's not like they had a real split. I mean, they really do, co-own a wrestling school together. Get their students, not just beyond working time, but an actual pushed angle on AEW television. They've been doing that. It's been better than I thought it would be, but it's still something that no one asked for.
And this has definitely been a fail in the Cody Rhodes creative department. Yeah. Like
it really has. Go ahead.
Yeah, he just has done a good job, but this last year things have kind of started to go wonky for him.
It really has. He's suffered a lot from, once again, his reactions from those sold out crowds every week on Dynamite and the pay per views were really something to behold. I mean, he really had those people in the palm of his hand. But it's not just the pandemic. He has teased turning heel himself multiple times and then not followed through on it. He's linked to Brandy, before she got pregnant, was kind of an albatross around old AEW television. Turning herself heel in an awful run, then turning babyface, then seemingly almost all turning heel again along with Cody when Cody was teasing it. She was a mess, and she, was an anchor, certainly an anchor tied to the women's division that's thankfully now gone for now. But this last year has not been kind to Cody. He got the deal with Brody Lee that was pretty good, and I think the match with Darby Allin where he dropped the TNT title was good. Never said the guy wasn't a good wrestler.
Oh right.
But it's been he suffered lack of the crowd and then his own instincts, which I think at the beginning of AEW, as far as the executive vice presidents who had seemingly had good booking minds, he was easily the best. He seemed easily the best, but I don't know if you want to call it ego or what have you, but he's been missing the mark in his own portrayal every bit as badly as Kenny or the Bucks, if you would want to make that argument. It's just not working. And now we've gone from it being about, the betrayal of Cody's best friend to being about this British dude who we still don't. If you go back, we'll go back to the Soviet angles of the 80s.
Oh.
Think about the Koloffs in World Championship Wrestling or Mid-Atlantic, whatever you want to call it. New Factor Promotions, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They talk their crap. And brutalized jobbers for months and months and months before Magnum TA or Dusty Rhodes stood up to them. We're not having that with Agogo. We are just starting to find anything about Agogo. Yeah. The guy needs months of more of punishing someone in the gut and taking them out. He would need months of more of these of anti-American promos before you would go in this direction. I mean, the guy's only friends are Americans. It's like, so there's a complete disconnect of what's going on here, what Cody wants to do with this. It's like he wants to have a celebrate a patriotic holiday, which, it's Double or Nothing's the night before Memorial Day by facing an evil foreigner, and he's just basically having to create one out of nothing. Something that's already there, and because that's not the storyline. It's supposed to be Cody and his nightmare family against the factory. Ooh, big time. It's just not working. Cody's just, whatever he had a year or two ago is very much slipping away, and this ain't helping. If anything, it's hurting, because you open yourself up. You open yourself up to huge criticism of you as not just your TV character, who Cody is as a person.
No.
What are Cody Rundle's actual values? Then it starts asking questions of, what does AEW stand for? What does Tony Khan stand for? It's like, all this could be avoided. We just didn't do the damn promo. And they didn't take the story, they didn't take the story in this direction where it didn't need to go. It hasn't been properly set up to go. It's a mess.
Yeah. It's a good thing that the rest of the show was not a mess.
Overall, it was a good show. I did like the show, and especially and particularly the opener with Jon Moxley and Yuji Nagata.
That was a very good match. I really was interested to see if Nagata was going to end up being the one to win the IWGP Championship, but that is not the case. So there is the possibility we see another IWGP title defense on AEW television in the near future, I would think.
Well, IWGP United States Championship. Let's be clear.
Yes.
the title Moxley has largely held for nearly 2 years. He had to have it stripped from him because he couldn't make a show when that happened, and then he won it back. Then, of course, he didn't defend it for a year. And since then, he's made two successful title defenses, both of which a lot of people expected him to lose, because it's just like, he's an AEW, and that's his primary, obviously primary promotion. Tactically, he cannot get into Japan, but of course, we can get some Japanese talent in over here. Funny how that works.
Right. And
once again, whenever Mox defends that title, I guess there is going to be the air that, well, he's got to lose it this time. And he doesn't. And I don't know exactly where they're going to go with it, but it's not. So it's good to have. It's good synergy with AEW and New Japan as they're, I guess, seemingly feeling each other out as far as having a bigger relationship. So then that's all well and good. But other than that, the match is just really good. I mean, there's just something about the way New Japan treats its older wrestlers and how they're positioned to continue going, how their experience and their technique is really drilled in, that that they are just masters of wrestling. And in the case of, say, Nagata or Umeru Suzuki, how mean they are. They're just mean. They're just mean old men out there.
Yeah, they got really old. Hard. They got old man strength.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, no, it was good. It was good. Good thing. Once again, it was a good hook for Dynamite. That good way to open the show. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable there. I'm trying to think of, this is one that I just kind of had to laugh that, this week's BTE was called, they should have put this on Dynamite, and it was all about the tag team match. And, I mean, I've got to admit, SCU was kind of out of sight, out of mind, no matter how much they won on Dark. Something, one of their matches on Elevation really would have been appreciated, but hey, whatever, man.
Right.
I do kind of like where the Young Buck characters are at currently.
They're definitely much better seals, yes.
Yeah, them being insufferable and just kind of playing into themselves a little bit. Yeah, it really works well for them, because I think that I still think that Kenny Omega overplays himself in his role in the company. Like, it's too delusional for me. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm not really a big fan. Like, so, yeah, Omega's kind of, he's gotten better since he's gone heel, but I still feel like he's too aloof to be taken seriously. The Bucks are striking a nice chord right now, and I guess it wasn't any surprise that this match ended with SCU losing and officially splitting up for...
Yeah, that was the step forever.
Yeah.
I think it's believed that may have been Christopher Daniels' last match.
Oh. Yeah.
He's been working backstage in the talent relations, role the entire existence of AEW. So not like he's losing his job or anything. It's just he might not wrestle anymore. So yeah, I had a hell of a career. I'm glad he's landed where he's landed in a job that's certainly could certainly have some security for him, and not to mention employment all the benefits of being an office employee. He's certainly earned it and worked for it, so good for him. And it was a good match to go out on. The blood was interesting. I was not expecting them to do a heavy blood match the week after Blood and Guts. Thought they'd give that a bit of a break, but no. CD certainly bled a gusher.
Yeah, I guess you want to go out with the old crimson mask. Really sell it.
He definitely did.
So it was an enjoyable match, and I'd be remiss not mentioning the enjoyment of the Dickhead Bucks.
Now, I do have a complaint, though.
Yeah.
Going, right before Daniels and Kazarian embrace for the last time as a tag team, immediately going to the back, that was such a TNA move. That was not necessary to rush to rush to that back to to mock Kingston backstage.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
But what can you do? What can you do? They decided to move on. Now we can move on.
I guess
if you remember where you were going before I interrupted you.
I mentioned not liking goofball Kenny Omega. He done went and got the usual thing done to him, which is he ends up interfering in the number one contenders match. We end up with the triple threat match. Very WWE angle of them.
Oh, that is a WWE trope for sure. Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah, there's probably other ways to do that, but Orange Cassidy was legitimately hurt during the course of that match. So some audibles I seem to have been called, although I'm sure that was the. You know, the end result was always going to be a three-way match. They didn't change it that much.
Well, yeah, if the one part of the three-way can make it.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. Because, yeah, I guess I did not realize that he was really injured during the matchup there.
I missed it too, and I haven't gone back to see where it happened, but he was banged up a little bit.
Yeah, so hopefully it is not too bad and he can get in this match. Because, yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny, there are not a lot of people the wife has popped for. But she kind of gets a kick out of the whole Orange Cassidy gimmick. I was a little surprised by this. but he did make an impression. So I think that was worth throwing out there. What else? Oh, my gosh. And I guess one of the things that I remember, and one of the reasons why I was like, oh man, this show is closing really well, Britt Baker just continues to crush it.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yes. She is a highlight every week. Yeah. Her confidence, her promos keeps getting better. It is definitely beyond time for her to be AEW Women's Champion, with all due respect to Hikaru Shida, who has stepped up. Shida has been a good babyface champion in a division that has stepped up around her. She wasn't going to be able to carry this thing by herself, but as the champion of the division that, as it's been improving, she's been good, but it's time.
Yeah, it... Like you said, it's probably beyond time, but it's also probably worked out for the best, too, for it to kind of, you know, Britt Baker has had a couple of losses, because she lost the match with Thunder Rosa, which was one of her high-profile ones. Did she lose one other high-profile one?
Somewhere along the line, she has lost a match, officially, because the Mother Rosa loss was not official.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Somewhere along the line. I don't remember what the match... It was... Oh, it was in the tournament. That's right. She lost to Nyla Rose, I think, in the tournament.
Oh, yes, she did. Yeah, that's what it was. Because I think they wrestled in the first round and Nyla Rose won, if memory serves.
Yeah,
now that you jog it. So yeah, this time has allowed Britt Baker to recover from that. And they've done a good job of slowly building her character since she came back from the, was it broken nose that she had?
No, she had a broken nose, and then she and then she broke her knee. Or injured her knee, I should say.
Oh, okay.
Broke, right, but yeah, no, it was the knee injury was what put her out for a while. Yes, she's done incredible since then. Really, since that first promo on, I believe it was the 2020 Jericho Cruise. You know, that she has been on a roll. She's just continued to gain momentum. You know, I know that one Mr. Lance Storm has criticized AEW booking for having Britt Baker lose the match to Thunder Rosa and then get the title shot. I disagree completely. I think it's kind of brilliant booking that she loses this match that doesn't count and then gets to basically pad her record with squash wins on Dark and Elevation in order to become number one contender after Sheeta defeated Tay Conti, and then it was actually with the rankings, it was some of the best stuff they've done. It might be the best stuff they've done because, you know, while Britt Baker is, you know, padding her win loss record with these squashes on Dark and Elevation, Dark Elevation, you know, Sheeta beats Tay Conti. Then Jade Cargill beats Red Velvet. So without really beating anyone of note, Britt Baker becomes the number one, becomes default the number one contender.
Well, and the most enjoyable part of that is that she was at least literally saying, "Hey, I'm going to go squashing people on Elevation," while she was on Dynamite.
Yeah, she didn't say that. it's great heel stuff, and once again, once Britt Baker is the champion, you always can go back to Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa. I think that's absolutely what they should do. Yes, unless of course Thunder Rosa loses her next big match in the NWA.
Oh, what? Because isn't the stipulation she has to stay in the NWA if she loses?
Yes. If she loses, she can't wrestle outside of the NWA anymore. She has to stay. That is her punishment.
Oh, man, that...
the loser stays in town.
That, I mean, I guess why not go for something like that? Like, I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, there aren't a lot of things that hilarious. I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm like, okay, you got me on that one. Like, you know, you're like, I've seen all the tricks, and then you get the, you're only allowed to wrestle in our promotion gimmick. You're like, huh? Oh man, yeah, that really did that popped me when I saw that. I was not upset at all. I don't know. Do you know what her chances of losing that match are? Like, I'm not sure how. I don't watch the NWA. I don't know.
I don't even know where you watch it anymore. No.
Well,
I'm pretty sure she's winning that match. Yes, and then whenever she can, she will be AEW full time.
That's what I was gonna say next. AEW has invested too much time in Thunder Rosa at this point to not sign her full time.
Yeah.
You know, because didn't she also have a promo this week, too?
No, she had a squash match.
Oh, okay.
So they're still quoting her pretty heavily, yes. The idea that I think that that she challenges Britt Baker for the title after, you know, Britt Baker wins it is very much in play.
Yeah, that would seem like a no-brainer way to go. The women's division on Dynamite has come a long, long way in a fairly short time. and good on them. What did you think about Chris Jericho living out his Stone Cold Steve Austin fantasy?
I guess love rules of gimmick theft or something like 7 years or it was that I guess that was that's an old cliche. Been like 20 years since we saw something like that. It still felt like a derivative, but you know. And I'm not even sure if I like the way the Pinnacle was even selling it. It's like they're no Vince, Shane, and The Rock for damn sure, or Steve Austin and the Alliance either. It was probably more. I want to say it was more cartoonish, but it didn't like make sense what they were doing. Why? It's like they were trying to climb back in the ring.
Yeah, there
and
were.
Was missing anyway.
Yeah, there. That's the biggest problem was that most of it was missing. The canon was so, and that was the other problem is that. They were so far away that even though it was obviously it was powerful enough to hit the ring, but they weren't like when Steve Austin almost knocked himself out with the beer truck trying to drink out of the fire hose, you know.
Well, took off his own head.
He was really, like, he was hosing down Vince and company at very short range. The fact that they were, hey, I guess I don't want to get rained on or whatever when I'm in my nice suit. So it's a dick move enough to just have the shower happen, but A, aim better. Don't sell it like they were selling it like they were getting hit by the hose, and not by this long distance cannon.
Yeah, and then it's all to set up a stadium stampede match at Double or Nothing. First time back with a full crowd. And we're going next door and doing a cinematic match. Makes absolutely no sense to me. But okay. And this is the match that has the stipulation to it, and Jericho's already back a week after taking that ill-fated fall. But what, you know, its intention was to severely injure Jericho.
Jericho's
back a week later with...
He was wearing an arm brace.
I was about to say that was the only injury, but it's like,
it's something.
I think it was something. Yeah, it was something. It's fine. It's kind of weird doing a cinematic match with a full crowd, but you know, and I'm not sure exactly what new ground you can cover in a stadium stampede match that you didn't cover last year. So I guess we'll see how that goes. And of course, this is the match that actually has stakes to it. It just kind of goes to show that. As experiment as it was to do that on Dynamite in Daly's place, they probably should have waited to do Blood and Guts when they were, you know, in an arena with a roof so that they can, you know, lower the cage and everything. And not have to go do what they did last week as far as taping the first part of the show in advance and then only having Blood and Guts for the live crowd that was there. From what I can gather, absolutely confused a lot of people, and we're not happy.
Jeremy and I kind of talked about that a little bit last week, but I guess we couldn't find the info about what exactly had happened there, but you just kind of confirmed the whole setup.
Yeah, so, there was just no way to, there was no apparatus to lower that cage. It had to have been there all day.
Yeah, I mean, that would have annoyed me too if I was sitting there for an hour and 20 minutes watching a TV screen.
And what if you went to the previous week's show and you watched those matches be taped?
Oh.
You gotta watch the same matches you saw last week. But then I guess you would have known otherwise what this was. But yeah, it feels like they cheapened Blood and Guts, you know, for a number of ways, you know, getting out of the cage in the first time out and doing a spot off the top, and now it's not even wasn't even the feud ender.
Oh,
they really defined down what could be there, even though obviously it's a complete ripoff of, you know, one of Cody's dad's ideas. Cody's dad's most famous idea.
Right.
But yeah, I guess the first Hell in a Cell started with someone breaking through the door and interfering. So maybe this won't hurt long term.
Yeah, it probably won't, but it is kind of weird for that not to have been a blow off. You know?
They really should have thought better about, you know, really preserving that, especially when you can do the whole lowering of the cage, you know, in an indoor building from the roof. When we talked about it, W is going back on the road first, it seems, July 7th, and every Wednesday from there, Dynamite will be back from a different location across North America, or at least, you know, the continental United States, I should say.
Yeah, I guess I am definitely for that. I'm not sure how much I'm still going to talk the other half into going to indoor events, honestly. But, you know, the live crowd has done a lot for just their product in general, in my opinion. Like, you can tell that they have a real live crowd. Like, NXT has some real people there, but they still just don't have that many people there to really kind of pep the place up.
Yeah. And it's still that the NXT Florida crowd is still that snarky internet crowd. And we saw it when they did pack more people in the place over the takeovers. They actually took away from the show, I would argue. Whereas AEW, whether they're at Daly's place or, you know, historically, you know, anywhere else they've gone, they almost always have a passionate crowd that is essentially willing this to be a good show. And that has been one of the biggest strengths of it. One of the biggest strengths of AEW from the beginning.
I did not have a problem with the crowds when they had the larger ones. I thought the problem was the first night they felt the need to put audio sweetener on top of the crowd, and it really fucked with the crowd reaction. And then they did not, at least from my memory, they did not have the audio sweetener the second night, if memory serves. So, but, you know, this is another thing that I guess is kind of interesting, that even the AEW plants, because they still have some of the unused talent being out in the crowd, and those guys get into it way more than any one of the WWE talents ever did. Because we were just talking about Jericho, everyone, even the people that are on the roster, are singing Jericho's song when he comes down. Doesn't matter if I want to vomit listening to that song. Everyone sings it. That really helps make a crowd more lively, like you're talking about, you know? There is no festiveness at the NXT crowd like that.
No, there is not. No, because it's a snarky crowd that's almost rooting for the show to fail. That's my take on it. You disagree, but I don't like that.
Oh no, I'm just I disagreed just on the fact that I felt like the larger crowds were pretty okay for the was it Stand and Deliver or whatever they just
Yeah. Stand and deliver, yeah.
but the more recent smaller crowds have gone back to what you're talking about. You know, where it does not seem like they're making a whole lot of noise.
Right.
And you, the noise part is definitely needed. You can sit there and enjoy it, and that's one thing. But yeah, you got to play along, man. You got to do your part. Do your part. Cheer. Boo. Do something. Good gravy. I guess speaking of NXT, you don't have anything else to talk about AEW wise, do you?
No, not particularly.
NXT, nothing too crazy. I felt like going on the other night there, but they were moving some storylines along here. Karrion Kross dispatches with Austin Theory to start the show. Any major thoughts on that one?
Not really, but I am still befuddled at how often it seems Cross wrestles other heels. It makes him very it puts him in a shade of gray, a ambiguous position that I'm not sure why exactly they're doing it like that, but that's good. But although Theory is just some form of destroy, that was fine, and they've now set up a rematch with him and Balor for NXT in 2 weeks that I expect to end in a giant schmoz to set up the four-way at TakeOver in your house.
Yeah, because Balor is not getting a another crack at this thing. If
Well, he will be in the four-way match because it'll be Cross, Balor, O'Reilly, and Pete Dunne. But on that, I'd like Mr. Balor to either head over to Monday Night Raw most probably he would be most needed, or if he can. Or if we can go back overseas, let's do it. Let's work NXT UK and get that Walter match. But I think Finn Balor's run in NXT proper it should be coming to an end. There's nothing really left.
Yeah, it would yeah, the main roster can use him. So yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind him going back up. The whole, I guess I still wonder if Vince thinks he's kind of injury prone, because didn't he, I know that he had the broken jaw and was out for that. Wasn't he out for another injury during his NXT time, or am I misremembering things, or remembering things that didn't
Well,
happen?
the jaw was NXT.
Well, no. Wasn't there another injury aside from the jaw, is what I'm saying?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that there's something else. So, yeah, I don't know. Balor seemed to have a little bit of bad luck there when he was on the main roster in the injury department, and he seems to have stayed relatively clean in NXT. So that's definitely helped him out. But yeah, again, Raw could use any help that it can take, honestly.
Lashley needs some baby face. Lashley needs some new baby face opponents. Without a doubt.
Oh. Yeah, not a whole lot to say in my opinion about MSK taking out Breezango. Breezango got their championship run. Now they're back to just being the help at this point and taking the L's for everyone else.
Right.
Johnny Gargano continues to crack my shit up. Also, another weekly highlight. This week,
Yeah.
what was he threatening to break in William Regal's office at first, and then he moved to the pencil?
I don't remember.
Okay. But yeah, that was
I don't
another
either.
pretty funny
But it
moment
was,
for me.
yeah, very funny. Yeah, very funny.
yeah, not much to say about Pete Dunne and Leon Ruff. And then this match really was quite enjoyable. Raquel Gonzalez taking on Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a very, very good match. A very physical, but kind of almost playing up that Raquel Gonzalez is like Mercedes Martinez. Younger in her career. They're very similar, but Raquel's power. Won out in the end. They after the match had a mutual respect moment that didn't seem to be to the liking of Dakota Kai, so we're moving in that direction now.
Yeah, like it did seem a little bit rushed. Like as good as this match was, like I almost wished it would have made its way to their next pay-per-view.
Yeah,
Honestly.
it's been interesting to see where they. Yes, we see. Because it also feels too soon to run a Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai match as well. If they're just starting to show dissension.
Agreed. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that this early on. but they definitely like you said, they were definitely hinting at it this week.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see. I mean, I know it's a main roster thing, but they did really let the Sasha Banks Bailey feud simmer a little bit. I hope that this one keeps on simmering before they have Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez face each other. Because yeah, I mean they have enough people on that roster to make that happen. Oh, what do you think of Isaiah Scott's new stable, Hit Row?
Hit Row, very interesting. I like what I've seen so far. It's contemporary. It feels it's contemporary and it feels natural for Swerve to be in this position. So, you know, it's maybe one of those situations where he's getting some say in how this is being portrayed. So that's good. I like it so far.
Yeah, it's in its infancy, obviously. But it was a good start to things. It'll be interesting to see how these new characters, it would definitely seem like Top Dollar will be wrestling at some point, and it seemed the other guy, and I'm trying to remember what his name is. Ashanti Adonis, I believe was his name. It definitely seemed like they were going to be ready for some in-ring action. So that'll be pretty interesting to see. I'm not sure about the whether the woman will end up wrestling or not. B-Fab.
Yeah, I would imagine she's, you know, been training to be a wrestler. I imagine they're all going to wrestle, which is kind of like that weird thing that, like, wait, so these people are all, they're all music industry people, but they're also wrestlers? Wait, what? It's maybe somewhat harkens back to the old days of occupation-based gimmicks in wrestling, but because it's such a modern spin on it, I'll forgive that.
I think just because people being able to do more than one thing has definitely been popularized, I think, at this point. Rapping has not really been just exclusive to anyone at this point. I mean, we've had rapping John Cena. The Usos were doing some rapping at some juncture. New Day didn't. They just had the throwdown contest, didn't they? Them at New Day, right, and yes, the Usos. Yes. That's why I guess it's the music gimmick. Like, I guess that's why it felt a little more natural to me. And
it is very natural. I like it. It just kind of got in my head. I know it's not the same as a garbage man or a tax accountant also being a ruler. it's nowhere near the same. Yeah.
Well, if we get other people coming in with jobs, then we're gonna need to start to worry.
Yeah.
Because Cameron Grimes just being rich and continuing to get outbid by Ted DiBiase is, definitely an old-timey gimmick. But they're definitely giving it a fun spin here.
It's a lot. Cameron Grimes is a lot of fun. And this whole thing with the Million Dollar Man they've got going, it's real funny. Really great stuff. I'm wondering if this is eventually going to end with Grimes losing all of his money and being poor again. But it's funny, and it is really funny. It's been really good.
And to me, last order of business for NXT: Kushida, Santos Escobar, main event.
Absolutely phenomenal TV match there. No, Kushida has really helped to turn around at least my interest wise, Kushida has really turned around the cruiserweight division. I really, really enjoyed the hell out of his matches. And, you know, Escobar is a great opponent for him. So, they had a great match.
I still don't know if I care about the cruiserweight championship, but I did enjoy the hell out of this match. It definitely seems like a feud ender, I would say. And I would also think that Santos Escobar has higher belts to look for in his near future. Your thoughts on that?
He's definitely a star. I let my indifference towards the Cruiserweight Championship color my feelings on his reign or the attention I gave to his matches, but he is a tremendous, and he absolutely should be shooting, you know, higher than the Cruiserweight division going forward.
So I wasn't really surprised to see him lose this match. As soon as he lost it to Kushida, I didn't think this was going to be one of those cases where he got it back and kind of reigned supreme over the division. I have loved Kushida for a crazy long amount of time. He did seem to have a little bit of a rough start in NXT, but things have been humming along pretty well here, I would say, for him in the last 6+ months. You know, some of the stuff's not been great, but he's been definitely moving in a positive direction, and this has been the real cap-off point. So, okie dokie. Any other random wrestling thoughts before we get on out of here?
Not for me.
Okie doke. Well, I am still, my brother-in-law thinks I drink more than I really do at this point. So I am still drinking the Arche's Prime Editing Double New England IPA. Unfortunately, because it was just in a growler, it's a little bit on its last legs, so probably not the best flavor out of it currently. But still a very good beer, if you drink it fresh and or in cans. So, they are out of, Akron, Ohio. So I don't know exactly, where he got it, but, it is, a good and, tasty beer. So that is, the Belltime beer for the week. Really, now, since it's been both the podcast, I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere where you can download fine podcasts. So have a good night, grandkids.
Later.